Well, thanks to Nigel for leading us thus far, for Hanson as well for reading God's Word. As has been said by Nigel, yes, I want to major this morning on Romans 8 and verse 1. And you may turn around and say, well, it's a very unusual arrangement of reading, the fact that you read the end of chapter 7 and just one verse of chapter 8. Why didn't you start at chapter 8, verse 1, and go through a few verses? Well, we are very thankful for God's Word. We're very thankful for the Bible, for the translation into English. I don't read Hebrew very well, and I certainly don't understand Greek. It's double Dutch. Sorry about that, Nick. But I have to say that in the original, you see, there's no gap. We have chapters so that you can have bite-sized information, a chapter at a time. So, but in the original, there is no gap between the last verse of chapter 7 and the first verse of chapter 8. You see, it's all the same flow. It's the same train of thought that Paul is going. So he's talking about this warring faction that's going on inside his heart or his body, his mind against the flesh. What he wants to do, he doesn't do, but what he doesn't do, he does. And this warring faction. But then he comes up and he says, thanks be to God. You know, it's wonderful. Thanks be to God, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want us to consider. So there was a degree of common sense in the reasoning, asking Hanson to read from verse 21. Condemnation is quite an old word. We don't use it very much. I'm sure you don't probably go up to your friends and say, do you know what? My father condemned me this morning. No. Well, your dad doesn't know what that means. But condemnation, it is an unusual word. I can remember watching on television the mighty power station towers in north of England. And when they were condemned and they'd bring them down, they put all the explosives around and you'd see the explosion shoot out from the bottom and gradually you'd get this destruction. They were condemned and they were brought down. Sometimes you see it on houses. But in this day and age, and of course we have people who are probably used to this word, condemned, we associate it with the courtroom. The law courts. Now, I know I was speaking not so long ago in the evening on Micah, and we went into the heavenly courtroom. Well, we're in a courtroom again with this word, really. And once again, we're standing in the dock. All right? That's where the guilty people, well, the people that are being tried, should I say. from a slight slip. The tongue. So you have the duck there. If you can imagine the judge sitting there, you have the prosecutor there. You know, the ones who need a haircut. You know, they have these funny things. Yeah. And so you have that. But it's us, it's me, standing in the dock here. And the evidence is being presented. And we've actually even had it mentioned this morning. Nigel quoted from Romans 3 and verse 23, where we read that all have sinned. Here's the evidence, ladies and gentlemen, Your Honor, this gentleman here, all have sinned. This person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We remember that our Lord, when he was speaking in John and chapter 3, verse 18, said, whoever does not believe is condemned already. Paul was mentioning that actually in chapter 5. We're not going to go into all of that today. So there is therefore now According to the evidence that has been presented, Your Honour, in front of you and the jury about this individual that's standing in the dock, no hope for him. There is therefore now no hope. Evidence is clear. It's quite interesting that the judge is about to drop the old hammer and make the sentence, as it were. And yet, there is something very, very special, therefore, about this verse in chapter 8. There is therefore not no hope. There is therefore now no condemnation. And interestingly, if you go back to the Greek again, in this phrase, in this verse, in the Greek, there are no verbs. No verbs at all. It's a real statement. We're not condemned. Now, how can that be? How can that be? It's a real headline. In some, it's like you would get on a newspaper, like the front page. Shock news, judge says, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. So we need to ask ourselves, what persuaded the judge? The word we would use is assuage, but the judge to make this decision. I mean, the evidence was overwhelming. It had been demonstrated, the fact of this guilt before God. What could possibly result in no condemnation for you and me? Well, I'd like us to look at two things, just two. There are many, but we'll look at two. Two things that Paul brings out, why we are not condemned, no condemnation. And the first is that, of course, that we are in for those who are in Christ. That is the crucial thing. You see, that indicates that there's condemnation for everyone else. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's a condition. No possibility of condemnation. Everyone else, of course, is in Adam. What about those who are in Christ? You see, Christ is our hiding place. Christ is our only refuge. And that's Paul's point back in chapter 5 of Romans. In Romans 5:18, he says this. If you look at the argument that Paul is making, therefore, as one trespass, that means Adam's first sin, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, and there, of course, he means the obedient life of Christ, climaxing in Calvary, it leads to justification, no condemnation, and life for all. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Paul is setting out a basic binary. He's setting out a basic binary. In Adam or in Christ. Either Adam's trespass, sin, fall, leads to condemnation, or we are in Christ. Christ's obedience that leads to justification and no condemnation. You see, it's by faith alone. By faith alone we have peace with God. It's by faith alone that we are counted, as Nigel has said already, we are counted righteous in his sight. It's by faith alone we are not condemned, because it is by faith, by the grace of God, and by faith that we are in Christ. It's so simple. And yet people will ask, well, surely it can't be that simple, just to trust in God. Surely I should do something. Maybe there is a hurdle I must jump over. Maybe there's a ritual I must fulfill. It can't be truly that easy. It is remarkable that we are considered righteous before God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get the righteousness of Christ imputed, is the word, isn't it? It's often used in Scripture. Imputed, reckoned to you as your very own. It's not by some qualification that you've met. It's not some act of piety. It's not some devotion that you have performed. All you need to do is rest yourself on the finished work, the perfect obedience, the righteous obedience and blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf. You do not need a pastor. You certainly do not need an elder for this. You can't buy it with charity, and you can't earn it with philanthropy. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is wondrous grace, and it is by faith alone. So the question we need to ask for this first point: are you in Christ or are you in Adam? Which side of the binary basic are you? On which side do you stand? In Adam, condemned, or in Christ, not condemned, but righteous in the sight of God? Not with our own righteousness, as I have said, but the righteousness that has been counted, imputed to us in Jesus Christ. Not condemned. Isn't that wonderful to have that over your head? Not condemned. Especially when we deserve it, to be condemned. But the second thing, and this is a very small thing. Well, it's a small word, which is so important. And it's the now. It's the now. It's the present. It's the contemporary. If we were having an alliteration, you could have in Christ, the sea, Christ. And here we have contemporary, the now. No condemnation is right now. What a difference that word makes. Right now. As you rest your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, you can know no condemnation. But it makes a huge difference, that little word. Certainly does for me. Sometimes I need that now. And I have to speak to myself. I cannot speak on your behalf on this. But that word now I need so badly sometimes, because there are times, daily, I sin. I stumble. I fall. And just at that point, then probably Satan starts to just, which is what Paul was basically implying in chapter 7, but for me, starts to accuse me. What a wretched Christian you are. You're supposed to be an elder at New Life Church. What a failure. You stand and preach God's word. What a hypocrite. look at you now. What a disappointment to God you must be. How can he stand to look at you? And then my own conscience starts to join in. And I start thinking, oh, this cycle, how can I be back here again? The same sin. Surely, my conscience is saying, you should be further along your Christian road than this. There should be a greater maturity. What a pathetic mess you are. And then sometimes comes the destructive part, if you're not careful. I begin to confuse the condemning voices with the voice of God. And I begin to wonder if God himself may turn around and said, this was once too often. We're through. We're through. What can I say to you, and I say to my heart, we've missed that little word now. We've missed that little word now. Even though I stumble, we stumble. Even if the dying remnants of our sin seem to come roaring back time and time again. But now, because of our faith and trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. The accusations of the devil, the rebukes of conscience, the judgment of your peers, they can't do that. In Christ Jesus, there is now nothing that can condemn you. Because of Christ, nothing. Now, that's not to say that sin isn't monstrous. That's not to say that we must repent and I must repent immediately. It's not to say that God isn't grieved by sin or angered by sin. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying that on occasions he may bring discipline into our lives to help train us. But I'm simply saying the courtroom doors are closed for you. There's no condemnation. You can't enter the dock. It has been done for you. The sentence has been settled forever. At the cross, Jesus was condemned for you and for me, and as we trust in him, his condemnation will never be upon us. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for everyone who is in, and anyone who is in Christ Jesus. You see, we have been set free. We have been accepted. We have been forgiven. We have and are loved. I read a story. It comes from about a pastor who tells this story. He has a church in Florida in a place called Plantation. Maybe some people know, have heard of it. It's near Fort Lauderdale. And he said he was walking around the corner of the church when he came face to face with an opossum. This is a true story, an opossum. Now, I'm not going into a biological lesson at this present moment because there is an opossum and there is a possum. One's got no in front of it and one doesn't. They're two separate animals, although they're all both marsupials, but that's by the by, and I'm going into a biology lesson, aren't I? Sorry. But he comes across... possums are in Australia, and opossums are in North America. And he came around, And he came face to face and he said it was the ugliest possum he'd ever seen. He said it was bedraggled, it was dirty, it was limping. It obviously had been in a fight and it wasn't very happy. And it started to snarl at him. And apparently you don't go near them, they do bite, apparently, quite nasty. And he looks quite aggressive. And it shot off around the back of the church. And over the next 2 weeks, the appearance of this Mr. Ugly Opossum, as he called it, became more frequent. And he realized that the opossum had made its home in his church. And so he decided that he needed to become rather a pastor, instead of a pastor, a trapper. And so he went out and he bought one of these humane traps. In America, they're called have a heart traps. It's not spelt like that, H-A-R-T, but the Americans been recorded. Have a heart traps, which is one of those on that you can see there. Anyway, he baited it and he set it. And lo and behold, he caught Mr. Ugly Opossum. I couldn't understand the next part of this story, but apparently he then took it into his office in the cage, and he carried on his work. I didn't know if he was preaching to it. I don't know what he was doing to it. But anyway, he took it into his church, and the thing snarled at him the whole of the time. And so he thought, well, I can't really concentrate. I'll put it in the car, and we'll go into the woods, and I'll release it. And so he did, and he put it on the front seat of the car, and he was driving into the woods sort of thing, and Mr. Ugly Opossum was snarling at him all the time, and the teeth were showing, and he wasn't very happy. And so he got into the woods, and he was going to lift up the little catch at the front. You can see the diagonal part there. He lifted up, opened it up to set the opossum free. And so... why we talk to these, I don't, he said, come on. What do you expect him to say? Oh, okay, thank you so much. But he lifted up that, and he wouldn't go. He wouldn't leave the cage. And so he just hit the cage, and the opossum wouldn't go. And so he got the end of it, keeping his fingers well away from the mouth end, lifted up the trap so it was at an angle, and all that the opossum did was drag, get his claws into the metal cage and stay there. He wouldn't go. And he thought, aren't we sometimes like that? We have been set free. The opportunity, the way has been set for us, and yet we like to keep one foot in the world, don't we? One foot with Adam, maybe one with Christ. There is that problem. And this opossum just wouldn't go. I assume he did go in the end. There is no end to that story. But all I know is that Christ has done it all for us. He has opened the way. He has opened that cage. The prison doors are open for us. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, as Paul said. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. You see, Christ has done it all for us on Calvary. Christ has paid the price. He has set us free. Therefore, for you and for me and for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. Yes, there were three crosses at Calvary, but of there's only one way to salvation. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are in Christ, we are free, not condemned. May we rejoice in that. I trust that as we go from this place, each one of us will be saying, it is well with my soul. Amen.